Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see him.
Ah, yes, there's a battle going on and a bigger one coming up, brothers and sisters. Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I am Pastor Steve, and this show is for Friday, the 10th of March, 2017. We're in the book of Ezekiel. We're going to be beginning in chapter 6, and he's going to prophesy against the mountains of Israel, because that's where they were doing a lot of their pagan worship. But before we get into that, I want to announce that EFR now is presenting a calendar according to the Enoch solar calendar, with all the feast days and all the high holy days and everything noted in it, as well as Gregorian dates, so you don't get lost. It is a beautiful calendar on heavy gloss paper with beautiful artwork. And each page, when you fold it up and have the bottom with the calendar, and the top has got scenes from the Bible and from our Anglo-Saxon heritage. It was put together by Brother A. Bear of North Carolina, who's on the chat room a lot. And if you would like a copy, click on the donate button at the top of the page and send us a donation of $20 or more. These things cost a bit to print, and that includes printing and postage and the whole bit. Mention calendar in the message when you click on the donate, and please give us your mailing address and you will get your calendar forthwith. So I have mine already. All the feast days are coming up here. Spring brings Passover on Sunday evening, April the 2nd at sundown. That's when Passover starts. You're going to want to have your calendar before that to keep up with things that are going on during the summer and fall, all the feasts. So that's the little spiel that I'm doing for the calendar. I think they're really great, personally, but that's it's gorgeous. But let's get into chapter 6 of the book of Ezekiel. That's Yechezkel in the Hebrew, and most of it is Yahweh talking to him. So verse 1, and the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of Adam. Now that's going to be prevalent throughout all these works, the son of Adam. It shows he was of Adamic seed line, as is true Israel. Set your face toward the mountains of Israel and prophesy toward them, and say, You mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord Yahweh. Thus says the Lord Yahweh to the mountains and to the hills and to the streams and to the valleys. Behold, I will bring a sword upon you, and I will destroy your high places. That's 1116. Those are the places of pagan worship. Verse 4, and your altars shall be desolated, 807:4. And your sun pillars, 2553, shall be broken, 7665. Those are obelisks. The Washington Monument is a sun pillar. They have imported several from Egypt that they have in the United States. A steeple on top of a church is a sun pillar that is pagan. I know that doesn't sit well with some, but that's tough. It's pagan, like a lot of the things the Judeo-Christian churches do. Verse 5, "And I will lay the corpses of the children of Israel before their idols, and I will scatter your bones around your altars." These are pagan altars, pagan idols. Verse 6, "In all your dwelling places," 4:1-8:6, "the cities shall be laid waste," 2:7-1:7. "And the high places shall be desolate," 3:4-5:6. "So that your altars may be laid waste and bear their punishment," 8:1:6. "And your idols may be broken and cease to be, and your sun pillars may be hewn down," 14:38. "And your works," 4:6-3:9, "may be wiped out," 4:2-2:9. The works they're talking about are the works of men's hands, manufactured little g gods. Verse 7, "And the slain shall fall in your midst, and you shall know that I am Yahweh." Verse 8, "Yet I will leave a remnant," 3:4-9:8, "so that there will be those that escape," 6:4-1:2, "the sword among the nations, when you shall be scattered through the lands." Verse 9, "And those of you that escape shall remember me among the nations, while they shall be taken as captives," 7:6-1:7, "because I am brokenhearted," 7:6-6:5, "with their whorish," 2:1-8:1, "heart," 38:20, "which has turned aside from me, and with their eyes which fornicate," 2:1-8:1, "after their idols, and they shall feel loathing," 6:9-6:2, "against their faces, for the evil which they have committed in all their abominations," again as idol worship, 8:4:4:1. Verse 10, "And they shall know that I am Yahweh. I have not said I would do this harm to them without cause," 2600. "Thus says the Lord Yahweh, smite with your hand and beat with your foot and say, alas, for all the evil abominations of the house of Israel. For they shall fall by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence." Verse 12, "He that is far off shall die of pestilence, and he that is near shall fall by the sword, and he that remains and is besieged shall die of the famine. Thus I will accomplish my fury upon them." Verse 13 of chapter 6, "Then you shall know that I am Yahweh, when the slain shall be among their idols all around their altars, upon every high hill, on all the tops of the mountains, and under every luxuriant tree, and every leafy oak, the places where they gave pleasing odors to all their idols." These are the places they had little shrines and burned incense. They're nature worship and fertility and stuff like that. Verse 14, "So I will stretch out my hand upon them and make the land a waste, yea, more desolate," 4:9-2:3, "than the wilderness toward Diblah," 16:89, "in all their places of habitation, and they shall know that I am Yahweh," because they worship their idols on the roofs of their houses, and wherever they lived, they had all these little shrines all over the place. And Yahweh's sick of it. Ah, oh, hot coffee. So let's get into chapter 7 here. Chapter 6 was sort of like what he's going to do to all these apostate churches. He's going to lay them low. Pardon me. verse 1 of chapter 7. The word of Yahweh came to me, saying, "You, son of Adam, thus says the Lord Yahweh to the land of Israel." The end, 7093, the end has come upon the four corners, 3671, of the land. Verse 3, "Now the end is upon you, and I will send my anger upon you, and I will judge you according to your ways, and will requite upon you all your abominations," all this idol worship. Verse 4, "And my eye will not look with compassion upon you, neither will I pity, but I will requite your ways upon you, and your abomination shall be in the midst of you, and you shall know that I am Yahweh." Verse 5, "Thus says the Lord Yahweh, calamity," 7451, "after calamity, behold, has come." Verse 6, "The end has come, the end has come. It has awakened to you," 6974, "behold, it has come." Now in verse 7, there's a word that is unclear. It carries a sense of doom as something coming around. And it's also used as mourning as a feminine noun. And that is from the Word Study Dictionary that I also use by AMG Publishers. The Sephira, 6843, that's the word. We don't know what that means exactly. It's not nailed down. So I'm giving it to you in the Hebrew and several possible meanings. "The Sephira has come to you, O you that dwell in the land." That could mean doom. The doom has come to you, or the mourning has come to you. More than likely, doom is something coming around. "O you that dwell in the land, the appointed time," 6256, "has come. The day of panic," 4103, "is near. Not the shouting of joy," 1906, "from the mountains." Verse 8. "Now I will soon," 7138, "pour out," 8210, "my fury," 2534, "upon you, and accomplish my anger upon you. I will judge you according to your ways, and I will requite to you for all your abominations." He considered every idol an abomination. Verse 9. "And my eye shall not look with compassion, neither will I pity. I will requite to you according to your ways and your abominations that are in the midst of you, and you shall know that I am Yahweh that smites." They repeat a lot in Hebrew. So if you think you've heard it before, you have. Let me get another hit of coffee here. Oh, I love these books of prophecy. They are just so hot. Verse 10. "Behold the day. Behold, it has come. The Sephira has gone forth." That leads me to believe they're talking about the doom. The doom has gone forth. "The rod," 4294, "has blossomed," 6692. "Insolence," 2087, "has budded," 6524. Verse 11, "Violence has risen into a rod of wickedness," 7562. "Nothing comes from them." I got to flip a page here. nor from their multitude, 1995, nor from their wealth, none wails for them, 5089. Now remember when Aharon's rod budded, and it showed that the Aharonic priesthood was the only true priests? Well, this is akin to that, but it's a rod of evil and insolence is budded. And a rod is used as a weapon. You beat on people with a rod, and biblical rod. Verse 12. The appointed time has come, the day has arrived, 5060. Let not the buyer, 7069, rejoice, 8055, nor the seller, 4376, mourn, 56. Because burning anger, 2740, is upon all their multitude. Verse 13. Because the seller shall not return to his wares, 4465, while he is yet alive. Because the vision, 2377, that's a prophetic vision, concerns, 413, is toward the whole of their multitude and will not be revoked, 7725. Neither shall any man retain, 2388, or grasp his life by iniquity, 5771. Verse 14. They have blown the horn, and blown is 8628, and horn is 8619, so that all prepare. In other words, they sounded an alarm, but none go to the battle, because my burning anger is upon all their multitude. 15. The sword is outside, and the pestilence and famine in the house. Those in the field shall die by the sword, and those in the city, famine and pestilence, blah, 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 shall devour. Verse 16. But the escapers, 6403, shall be fugitives, 6412, and shall be on the mountains like doves of the valleys, all groaning, 1993, every man for his iniquity. And if you've ever heard mourning doves, that's what they call them, mourning. It doesn't mean they sound in the morning of the day. It means mourning as in grief over those that died. They're very plaintive and very sad sounding. Well, that's what he's comparing this to. Like doves of the valleys, all groaning. It's pitiful sometimes. Very, very mournful. Verse 17. All hands shall drop, 7503, and that's from weakness. And all knees, 1290, shall flow down as water. Flow down is 1980, and that means be weak as water. They're just watery, no strength to them. Verse 18. They shall gird, in other words, cover themselves with sackcloth, and shuddering shall cover them. Shuddering is 6427. And shame upon all faces, and a bald spot, 7146, upon all heads. Now, 7146, the head shaved in the front as a sign of mourning, is paganism, and it's prohibited practice. And you can reference Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 1. That's paganism, but they were deeply involved in paganism, and that's why all this punishment is coming upon these people, because they would not stop the pagan practices. Verse 19, They shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be an impure thing. In other words, it's not going to be worth anything. Their silver and gold shall not be able to rescue them in the day of Yahweh's wrath. It shall not satisfy their hunger. You can't eat that stuff. Nor fill their stomachs, because it was the stumbling block of their iniquity. They loved their gold so much, that's what got a lot of them in trouble. They were so proud of their gold. Oh, I'm so rich, I'm so rich. Okay. Verse 20. Of their beautiful ornaments set with their pride, they made the images of their abominations and their detestable things. Therefore, I have made them unclean things. They made idols from their jewelry and gold and all that stuff. So the gold and the silver and the jewels were unclean. Verse 21. And I will give them into the hands of foreigners, 21:14, as booty, and to the wicked of the land for spoil. And they shall defile them. They'll melt them down and cut them up and make other stuff out of them. They won't be idols anymore. They'll defile them. Because they weren't gods anyway. So what? Verse 22. I will turn my face from them, and they shall defile my treasured place. That's his house, the temple of Yahweh. Treasured place is 6845. That's Jerusalem. That's the whole city. Violent ones, 6530. That's parites, as robbers or looters, shall enter and defile it. They're going to come into Jerusalem. They're going to tear up the temple. They're going to loot the whole place. Verse 23, make a chain, 7569, and that is ratok, and it is dubious here. Possibly a chain for prisoners? We're not sure on the usage on that. Because the land is filled with bloody crimes, and the city is filled with violence. Verse 24, I will bring the worst of the nations to take possession of their houses. I will make the pride of the mighty, 5794, to cease, 7673, and their sacred places, 4720, shall be defiled. All their little places that they worshipped all these idols. Verse 25, shuddering comes. 7089, as to shudder in horror. And they shall seek peace, and there is none. Verse 26, disaster, 1943, comes upon disaster, and tidings, 8052, shall be upon tidings. That's news of calamity. Then they shall seek a vision, 2377, from a prophet, 5030, but the teachings, 8451, or Torah, shall perish from the priest and counsel from the elder. And perish can also mean be lost. They will have nothing to say. Verse 27, the king shall mourn, and the prince shall be clothed with desolation, and the hands of the people of the land shall tremble, 926. I will do to them from their ways, and according to what is justly due them. I will judge them, and they shall know that I am Yahweh. These folks with their pagan idols were in deep trouble. The time has come for his wrath. And Ezekiel is telling this. And he's in Babel warning the people in Babel. And the reason for that is they were continuing their pagan practices in Babel, and some of them, the mixed breeds, were adding to them, whence would come the Babylonian Talmud. The sheep were separating from the goats in Babel, and that's what Yahweh wanted. So they would be clearly defined. Now here we are in chapter 8. And this is Ezekiel speaking. And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, I sat in my house, and the elders of Yehuda sat before me, and the hand of the Lord Yahweh fell there upon me. Okay, Yahweh was going to speak to him in the presence of all these people in his house in Babel, because he was a captive. And hand here is a symbol of power. The power of Yahweh would fall upon him. Verse 2, then I saw, lo, a likeness, 1823, something that looks like, as the appearance of fire, from what appeared as his loins downward, fire, and from his loins upward, the appearance of shining, 2096, gleaming like amber, 2830. That's like in chapter 1, verse 4 and 27, and the meaning is dubious. Okay, and verse 2, you can reference Ezekiel 1, verse 27. Verse 3, and he stretched out, 7971, the form, 8403, of a hand, and took me by a lock, 6734, of my head. Now, 6734 is tzitzit. That's the same thing, the same word is used for the tassel on a prayer shawl, or the daily garment with a thread of blue in it. That's the same word. And the Spirit lifted me up between the land and the sky, and brought me in visions of Elohim to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that faces toward the north, which was the location for 186 of the statue 5566 of jealous anger 7068, which provokes to jealous anger 67065. 7068 is Kina, and 7065 is Kana. This is a word play. That's Kina Kana, and it's spelled with a Q, and the Q is like a K in sound. Verse 4. Let me get another hit of coffee here. Oh, that's good. Verse 4, and behold, the glory of the Elohim of Israel was there, like the vision I saw in the plain. And verse 4, you can reference Ezekiel 1, verse 28. Verse 5, then he said to me, son of Adam, lift up your eyes now toward the way north. So I lifted up my eyes toward the way north and beheld from the north of the gate of the altar the statue of jealous anger in the entrance, 872. verse 6. He said to me, Son of Adam, do you see what they do? The great abominations, 8441, that's idolatry, that the house of Israel commits here, so that I go far off, 7368, from upon my sacred place, 4720. But turn again, and you shall see greater abominations. The sacred place is 4720, and that is Mikdash. That is the sacred house. That's Bayit HaMikdash. The house that is sacred. Verse 7, and he brought me to the door of the courtyard, 2691, that's the outer courtyard of the temple. And when I looked, I saw a hole, 2356, in the wall, 7023. Verse 8, he said to me, Son of Adam, dig now, 2864, in the wall. And when I dug in the wall, I saw a door. Verse 9, he said to me, Go in, and behold the wicked abominations they do here. Verse 10, so I went in and looked and beheld every form of creeping things, 7431, they were unclean, according to the Torah of Yahweh, and detestable, 8263, beasts, 929, and all the idols, 1544, of the house of Israel, carved upon the wall all around. It's carved as 2707. That's chaka, a carved or engraved work. You can reference Leviticus 5, verse 2, 11, verse 23 and 24. All of those things are unclean. Verse 11. And before them stood 70 men from the elders of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them stood Ya'azaniahu, 2970, the son of Shaphan, 8227. And he was possibly Ya'azaniahu, means Yahweh hears. And Shaphan was possibly the secretary of Uzziah in 2 Kings 22. Every man with a censer in his hand, that's an incense burner that you wave around, and a fragrant, 6282, cloud of incense went up. Verse 12, they were burning incense to these idols. Big sin. Verse 12, he said to me, Son of Adam, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel do in the darkness? 2822, in other words, as in secret. Every man in his chamber, 2315, of carved figures, 4906, that's Moskith. And they were secretly doing idol worship. They were appearing in public like they were righteous men, like a lot do today. But in secret, the works they do in secret was their true heart. Each man in his chamber of carved figures, because they say, Yahweh does not see us. Yahweh has forsaken the land. Oh, really? You're going to hide stuff from Yahweh? Okay. Verse 13, he said to me, Turn again, and see greater abominations that they do. Verse 14, then he brought me to the entrance of the gate of the house of Yahweh, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women bewailing, 1058, Tammuz, 8542. And that's the Babylonian sun god. And the Jews have a month named Tammuz. And they bow to the east today, worshiping the sun. Verse 15, he said to me, have you seen, O son of Adam? Turn again, and you shall see greater abominations than these. Verse 16, and he brought me into the inner courtyard of the house of Yahweh, and behold, at the entrance of the temple of Yahweh, between the porch, 197, and the altar, were 25 men with their backs toward the temple of Yahweh and their faces toward the east. And they bowed down, 7812, to the sun, 8121, to the east. They were bowing to Tammuz, and that is one of the Jewish rituals that they do. They bow to the east. And they say, oh, we're bowing to the temple. That's a lie. There is no temple. That's where the sunrise is. He said to me, have you seen, O son of Adam? Is it a trifling thing, 7043, to the house of Yehuda to commit the abominations which they commit here? Because they fill the land with violence and return to provoke me to anger. That's one word, 3707. And lo, they extend, 7971, the branch to 156 to their nostrils, 639. Verse 18, I will also deal in fury, 2534. My eye will not look with compassion, neither will I pity, and though they cry in my ears with a great voice, I will not hear them. Well, sun worship was going on, and Tammuz was a Babylonian sun god. Sun pillars are phallic symbols, obelisks. It's a mess. In verse 17, the term branch to the nostrils may refer to certain pagan rites, or it may refer to goading Yahweh to anger, as 639 for nostrils is used often as anger. A lot of this type of stuff has infested so-called Christianity today. And the holidays are not holidays. They've celebrated pagan days instead of real biblical feast days. Well, here we are in chapter 9. And we'll get started in that. Verse 1. He cried out in my hearing with a great voice, saying, those that visit punishment upon the city approach. Every man with a weapon of destruction in his hand. Now this is the watchman on the wall crying this out. Verse 2. And behold, six men came from the way of the upper gate, which is faced toward the north, every man with a shattering weapon in his hand. And that's 4660, and that's mapats. And it is only used right here in Scripture. That's the one-time usage of that word. But one man among them was clothed with linen, with a scribe's inkhorn by his side, and they entered and stood beside the bronze altar. Now that's in the temple. Verse 3. The glory of the Elohim of Israel was taken up from upon the cherub upon which it was toward the threshold of the house, and he called out to the man clothed with linen which had the scribe's inkhorn by his side. And Yahweh said to him, this is verse 4, pass through the midst of Jerusalem and set 8427, a mark 8420, upon the foreheads, 4696, of the men that sigh 584 and cry 602 over all the abominations that are done in the midst of it. And these were the righteous men, like those of today that hate all this evil that's come upon us. And they're going to put a mark of Yahweh on the forehead of those men. And verse 4, you can reference Revelation 7, verse 3, chapter 9, verse 4, and chapter 14, verse 1. Okay, that sigh and cry, that's a Hebrew word play. Sigh is anach, A-N-A-C-H, and cry is an idiom, anach, A-N-A-Q, as anach, anach, both sound the same. They're spelled differently, but they sound the same. Verse 5. These are the ones that had the weapons. To the others, he said in my hearing, pass through after him through the city and smite. Naka. Smite to kill. Let not your eye look with compassion nor show pity. Verse 6. Slay and destroy old men and young men, maidens and children and women, but do not approach upon any man upon whom is the mark. Begin from my sanctuary, 4720. Then they began at the old men which were before the house, and these are the ones that were bowing down to the sun. Verse 7, and he said to them, defile the house, 2930, fill the courtyards with the slain, go forth, because he was going to leave a temple, and the presence of a dead body made a man or a dwelling unclean. And you can reference Leviticus 21:11, Numbers 9:6, 7, and 10, and 19, 11, 13, 14, and 16. He was going to have his own house defiled because he was going to leave. Verse 8. And it came to pass while they were slaying them, and I was left alive, 7604, that I fell upon my face, that's prostrated himself, and cried and said, ah, Lord Yahweh, will you destroy all the remnant of Israel and the pouring out of your fury upon Jerusalem? Verse 9. He said to me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Yehuda is exceedingly great, and the land is full of blood, and the city is full of that which is perverted, that's all one word, 4297, because they say, Yahweh has forsaken the land, and Yahweh does not see. Verse 10, as for me also, my eyes shall not look with compassion, nor will I show pity, but I will requite their ways upon their heads. Verse 11, "And behold, the man clothed with linen, who had the inkhorn by his side, returned with words, saying, I have done as you have commanded me." So here Yahweh's going to have all the idolaters killed. They are toast. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, Yahshua Messiah is coming back with flaming fire with his avenging angels to slay all those that don't know Elohim. See the analogy? He did this to these people then. He's going to do it again when Yahshua returns, and those that have the invisible mark of Yahweh upon their foreheads, those who are faithful and do not slip into idolatry or lose faith, they shall be preserved. They will not be smitten. Now that's those of us in Christian identity that are doing true worship of Yahweh, and those that will convert before that time. And that's why it is so important for us to witness to other people of what Yahweh wants from Adam kind. He wants us to repent and return to Him in true worship. And this doom is coming again. It cycles around. It says in Proverbs that Solomon wrote, there is nothing new under the sun. The prophets are done prophesying. They have prophesied. We have the prophets. That's what Yahshua Messiah told him. He said, you have Moses and the prophets. Why don't you obey what you were taught in them? If you say you are righteous, there they are. But yet you do not obey them, so why come to me? Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Because they were not the sheep of his pasture. And those that are not the sheep of his pasture, which are the lost sheep of the house of Israel, if they're not of that, if they do righteously and they behave themselves, they won't be killed. But if they're against us and try to harm us and revile against Yahweh and our filthy dogs, they will be killed. This is all 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. The Judeo-Christian churches don't preach that. They're scared to death of passages like that. They don't want to talk about wrath. That hurts the collection plate. Well, that's just tough toenails. To hell with your collection plate. You use it to commit abomination. You're not true churches. You're not teaching the truth. You're teaching your church doctrine, the commandments of men, where you've modified the scripture to suit your agenda. You're not teaching racial separation. You're not teaching keeping the bloodline of Israel pure. You're not teaching chastity. You go to these churches and the women are wearing dresses all the way up to woohoo, or real tight clothing, showing off whatever they want, everything they want to show off. Mixed race couples with little mongrel babies. That's not a church of Yahweh. That's a church of apostasy. Homosexuals. Oh, we love everybody. Everybody can be saved. everybody's going to heaven. Just put the money in that little plate right there. Oh, this is what we in Christian Identity have to deal with day in and day out. And I know it gets disheartening, doesn't it? I understand that. I have the same emotional responses that you do. It's just that I'm a tough old bird and I just don't give up. I just keep on keeping on because that's the commission that the seed of Adam has now. Those of us that are in the know are under obligation from Yahweh to pass it on. Even if we don't like somebody, if they are a fellow Israelite, we need to tell them. Now, the ones that are not Israelites, you don't fool with them. Just they are what they are. Don't waste your time. They cannot be saved. Jews, now don't bother talking to a Jew. They're the seed of Edom, and they will be destroyed. Doesn't matter if they have one drop of that satanic seed line in them. They're toast. Don't waste your time. The only ones that Yeshua Messiah came for were the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They didn't come for anybody else. And the churches want to take that out. They don't teach that. Oh, we're all Israel now. We're spiritual Israel. That's bunk. You're either born Israel or you are not. It's the seed line, stupid. You Judeo-Christian morons. It's the physical DNA seed line that sets us apart from the other people on the earth. We are not to mingle with them. We are to be separate. We are a peculiar treasure unto Yahweh. And if your church is teaching something else, then you are in a lying apostate church. And if that don't suit you, that's just too bad. I can't help that. You have a problem. If you're dealing with the teachings of the synagogue of Satan that has infested these churches today, get out of there. Get out. Come out of them and be ye separate. That's the whole deal. And they just stay in because it's a social club. And they don't want to rock the boat. They are not secure outside of the herd. They have to be part of a group. They cannot stand on their own because they're afraid of being persecuted or not being popular, or they'll lose business contacts. Well, I'm not going to do any business with him because he's one of them racist Nazis. I can hear them now. He doesn't love his dark brethren like we're all supposed to. My daughter married up with one of them, and he's a fine fella when he's not high on crack cocaine. And he doesn't beat her up too often either. Yeah. Wait till he kills her. Like most of them do. And they come into churches and sit there with their little nigglets. Right up in the front where everybody can see them. They always are up in front. I stopped speaking at Judeo-Christian churches because I left a lot of them in the state where they were going to have a stroke. And then one Baptist church I went to and spoke at a long time, they started using the name of Yahweh and Yahshua. And some of my teachings, and the pastor was an interim pastor, but he had a doctorate. He was very well, very knowledgeable. And the deacon says, "Well, Steve, we really can't agree with that. That goes against the doctrine of the church." And the pastor spoke up, and the five deacons were standing there, and he says, "Well, actually, gentlemen, he's right, because that's what the scripture actually says." "Oh, well, we didn't know that, pastor." And he says, "Well, you might learn something if you listen." And they sort of just shuffled away with their heads hanging. Oh. I'm sorry, but it's funny. The truth, I got a brother here in Kentucky that goes to these churches and helps teach. And he gets the same reaction from the deacons and stuff, and the pastor. And the pastor at that church doesn't know anything. He doesn't know his head from a hole in the ground. And he just spews out Baptist pablum. And you can't, he won't even take a question. Because he's not firm in the gospel. He's just reciting rote learning. And he has pre-written sermons that he's reading out of some book. And it's pathetic, it really is. But my friend hangs in there. He hangs in there and just gives them a fit. So, oh my. That's my kind of Israelite. Just keep at it. Never quit. It's not a popularity contest. Don't worry about whether you're popular. Well, anyway, we're going to get into chapter 10 of Ezekiel on Monday. And more visions. This is going to be a big bunch of visions in chapter 10. It's not Yahweh speaking, but it's a vision. And then 11 is going to be the condemnation of the people of Jerusalem. And in the second half, it's a promise of restoration if there is repentance by Yahweh. And then 12, oh boy, it's him preparing his baggage for exile and leading people out. It's going to be an exciting Monday. I got to go. I'm out of time. Shalom Aleichem. May Yahweh bless and keep you, and I hope you have a blessed weekend, folks. Take it easy.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.